All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is 2 times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Since learning the truth about alcohol over 4 years ago, I've become pretty skeptical about anything that seems too good to be true. You know, like alcohol. If you're like me and you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, congrats, you're a skeptic too. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds our standards. I take Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus every morning because it has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's gentle on an empty stomach and has a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking my multis actually enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/sobermom. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/sobermom for 25% off. This is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Welcome back to the Sober Mom Life podcast. You guys came back and I'm so grateful. Today, I'm so excited. I have my bestie Audrey on, and we're going to talk about why pregnancy doesn't count. Okay, I know it sounds bad. You guys just stick with us and we will show you why and why this is an empowering thing and not a shaming thing. It never is a shaming thing. But before you listen, come and join us in the cafe and the community. We talk about this stuff all the time in our meetings. We now have meetings, peer support meetings, 7 days a week. Come and join us. The link is in the show notes, $25 a month. And you get me, you get Audrey, you get Jen, you get Alana, and you get my mom, and so many other wonderfully supportive and lovely sober women. Come and join us. And then don't forget, if you love the podcast, please rate and review it. All the stars. That helps. And then come follow us at The Sober Mom Life on Instagram and at My Kind of Sweet. Okay. Enjoy. Audrey, you're back.
Hello.
You're back on the Sober Mom Life podcast. Welcome back.
Thanks.
I've missed you.
Missed you. Feels like the retreat episode was like so long ago. It's only been like a month since we got back.
Yeah, it feels so long. Time does not exist. It is so weird. I don't understand it. Okay. Today, we're going to talk. You guys, disclaimer. Should we do a disclaimer?
I'm not pregnant.
Oh, okay. Okay. Audrey's not pregnant. I'm not pregnant either because I don't even have a uterus. So let's getting that out of the way. We are not pregnant. Also, you might have seen the title of this episode and you might go, what, this bitch? What are they talking about? Like, that's so rude. And stick with it. because we promise you we're not rude. I mean,
except when we are, but
we're not rude except for when we are. Okay. So let's just jump into it. Pregnancy doesn't count. Pregnancy does not count when it comes to sobriety. It counts for everything else. Okay. Let's just get that out. Like, it counts for giving life and for being like the most important thing that you've done, maybe, and all of the stuff, right? And how much you're a badass and everything. It counts for everything else. But for sobriety, pregnancy does not count. Right?
Right. It's hard to hear at first. You're like, wait, what? That's 9 months. That's a lot of freaking sobriety.
Totally. And it can sound like, well, that's a little harsh. It's so harsh, Ty. Right? Like, do you know what that's from?
Wait, no.
From Clueless?
Oh my gosh. Man, we're going back.
We're going back. Okay, so I started thinking about this when I was maybe like a year sober or something. I started hearing a lot of women saying like, well, I mean, I stopped drinking when I was pregnant. So, and it was just such a drumbeat that I kept hearing women say as kind of like a thing to say like, well, I know what that is. And I was able to stop drinking, and kind of thinking that they have a sense of what sobriety is and then moving forward accordingly. And I always wanted to say like, oh, wait, but you know that didn't count, right? Mm. Like that time when you were not drinking for 9 months, there are so many reasons that didn't count. What do you think?
I agree. There are a lot of reasons.
Let's get into why. What first comes up to you when you think about, I don't know, maybe go into your own pregnancy, right? Like when you think about not drinking in pregnancy, what comes up for you?
I was doing it for someone else. So that's the main thing. I was concerned with every single thing I put into my body. I was concerned with the smoke when someone was smoking down the street. I mean, it was like hypervigilance about protecting my baby. So it was just, it was never about me and my sobriety. And I didn't really think of it as sobriety. It was for someone else at the core. That's the main thing I think about.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's interesting because I think for sobriety, and this will go off tangent a little bit, but I promise we'll bring it back. A lot of it, we talk about my why and like, why are we doing sobriety? Why are we doing this? And what is this for? And I think that can change day to day. You know, I think my reason changes every day. Sometimes it's for me, and sometimes it is for my kids still, right? And so the idea that drinking doesn't affect your kids once they're outside of your body, I think is an interesting mm-hmm. one, right? It's in a different way. It's not this like straight line, like literally through mm-hmm. an umbilical cord, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, it's not physical. But, you know, that's a question to ask without shame. And that's really hard, but that's what we work through in the cafe and when we talk about things. So yeah, that's interesting that you're doing it for someone else. Were you one of those like pregnant people who were like, did you not, you know, have, I don't know, soft serve ice cream? Were you very CDC compliant?
With the first one, yes. With the second one, I was a little bit more loose, but for the most part, I was pretty by the book. And I was that annoying pregnant girl who was just like, this is great. And I had like the basketball belly and like, oh, you couldn't even tell from the back. Too. I was that girl. I was annoying.
You guys, I have seen pictures and she literally, well, we will share them. I think we talked about this in the Halloween episode too, when she was Miss Conception, which is so funny. She totally, it looks fake. It looks completely fake, like with the first and the second, right? Yeah. And you were like, well, it was a little bit bigger with the second. And I'm like, yeah, like in your big toe. You guys, there was no part of my body that was not pregnant. Like, my face was pregnant. My ankles were pregnant. I remember texting Katie from the Target dressing room. And I was trying on bathing suits. Our baby moon was in Aruba. And I was trying on bathing suits. And I was like crying. Oh. Because first of all, like dressing room lighting is the worst, right?
It's not good.
Nordstrom is like the worst.
That's so surprising. They're charging a premium. Like, they need to invest in their lighting. There's no excuse. Like TJ Maxx, and if you want I understand.
Right. I know. Nordstrom is worse than Target. Like if you want to sell clothes, you need to make women feel good about themselves. Right. Not like highlight every single and dimple and
shadows. It's like a ghastly.
Oh, it's so bad. It is so bad. Okay. Not that dimples and bumps are bad, but they're when you're not used to seeing them like that.
Right. Like give us a fair representation.
Yes.
What we see at home.
You're so vulnerable. Yes. You're like naked in a public place and they're like, let me get out a flashlight and shine it above you. And you're like, fuck all the way off. Like, oh my God. Now I'm getting worked up. Now I need to start another podcast called Dressing Room Diaries. No. So I remember I like texted Katie. You know, I was probably like 25 weeks pregnant. So really not, still had a ways to go. And I was like, so will the cellulite on my ankles go away? my fucking ankles were pregnant. Like, so I was pregnant.
Those are called cankles. Let's get it appropriate here.
Yes, but even like no, like cellulite, like literally cellulite on my ankles.
And what did she say? Did she walk you through it? Was it going to go away?
She said, fingers crossed. She said, I can't promise you anything.
And you're like, I can't cross my fingers. They're pregnant.
I can't cross anything. yeah, she said yes. She was a good best friend and she said yes, of course, enjoy it. And so then I got another box of Pop-Tarts and I went on my way.
Was that your food of choice? I was cinnamon teddy grahams. I would eat them like by the box at night in my bed.
I think food was my food of choice.
Yes.
Okay, so for the first two, I felt so sick the first trimester. I think I threw up like once each. So never really throwing up, but just on the verge. And it was like, if I could throw up, I would feel better. Mm-hmm. And the only time I didn't feel like I was going to throw up was when like I was actually in the process of eating food right before and right after. So then I was just constantly eating. Well, and with Gray, so my last pregnancy, I felt like that the entire time. I didn't have that like second, third trimester.
Oh, that's so
bliss.
Hard.
And I gained 80 pounds. I'm not even kidding you.
Wow. I can't imagine.
Maybe 70. Maybe you've seen a picture and you were like, oh, wow. I don't have to imagine that. I see it. Yeah.
But just seeing you so now, you're like so petite. That's just crazy.
I know.
70 pounds is like, yeah, that's a significant amount for your body frame. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot. Okay. And the idea of doing it, for someone else that you're like, well, obviously I'll do anything, right, to keep my babies safe. Like, tell me to stand on my head and I'll do it. But it's still then it feels like a sacrifice, right? It's like a sacrifice I am willing to make. You know how much I love you? Mm. I will sacrifice alcohol for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when you sacrifice is then you count down.
Right.
You count down to when you can have that privilege again.
That's it. And it's like, why can't we have that feeling of needing to protect them when they're on the inside, when they're on the outside of us? Why does that go away just because they're not in our physical bodies anymore? Like, we'll drink with them outside of us, but not with them in us. It's just,
right.
Once you start to think about it, like, you don't want to drink for them, like, as a human in general, not just when you're growing them.
Right. Well, and it's such a, the waters get muddied, right? Because it's like, we will do anything to protect our kids. Now, I would run in front of a moving car to get hit so that my kids wouldn't get hit. Like, we will do anything to physically protect our kids. I think this is when it is informed consent and not knowing not only the dangers of what alcohol is doing to us and our brains and our physical and mental health, but what we are teaching our kids by extension of that and by what we're showing them, right? Mm-hmm. And how are we not protecting our kids when we are the ones drinking? They're no longer in physical danger, hopefully, because of our drinking, although maybe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like, I know part of my story. My story is the last night I drank, and that was the first time I drank after being pregnant and nursing. He was 3 months old, you know, and it was like, okay, yes, I'm going to get back into it. You know, there was always that hump where I had to I didn't like the taste again. I remember after Evie was born, she was 4 weeks old and I was in one of my best friend's weddings. It was like an hour and a half away. And so my mom came. Because of course I had to bring the baby and I was nursing her. And so I would run upstairs to the hotel room, nurse her, run downstairs for pictures and then run upstairs and nurse her. And they had open bar or whatever. And I remember this so specifically. I was so looking forward to a glass of wine. And I took a drink and I was like, oh my God, this tastes horrible. And I remember thinking, okay, just keep going because you have to get past this part so that you can enjoy it again because this is the part. And it's like, that was everything protective in me,
right?
Saying hey, no, this is this is poison.
Yeah.
Also, you're nursing a baby. This is poison. Your body, your brain, everything is telling you don't do this. But it's just that thing that you think you have to, or I did. I thought I had to get through it.
Mm-hmm. I remember mine was a Corona. I had a Corona that was my first postpartum drink. And I just remember it hit me right away. Whereas normally, you know, it would take several.
Yes.
I was just oh, wow. Just take flight immediately.
Totally.
It's just crazy once you've got it out of your system. It really does.
Yeah. Your tolerance is totally, which is what happened to me that the last night I drank, right? Because I was okay, yeah, I'm all in. Champagne was topped off. And that was it. And I did put my baby into harm's way because of alcohol. He was in harm's way, you know, when I nursed him in the middle of the night in a blackout. Mm-hmm. I had to pick his little body up and who knows what could have happened, right?
So there's physical, right. But then also your judgment. I mean, a lot of it is so judgment-based, be it driving or deciding to nurse or whatever. That's just all alcohol has, all those trickle-down effects.
Right. Yes. And driving, we have many of those stories. Mm-hmm. Many of those stories where moms have driven with kids in their car after they've had drinks. And I don't know, this whole legal limit thing with driving. I mean, is there any alcohol that's safe when you have kids in the car? And so, yes, this idea that we can no longer hurt our kids or our babies once they're out in the world when alcohol is involved, that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough, right? But yeah, and I think that when I think about my why of why I stopped drinking, I mean, I can't extract my kids from me. I think that that's, you know, and I hear moms say well, I have to do it for me and not for my kids. And it's such a straight line between us for me, the umbilical cord may be cut, but I just can't extract that ever. And I don't really waste time trying to because I can't imagine my life without them. And so every single decision I make, I have them in mind always, mm-hmm. right? And so it's all part of it for me. Yeah. What about for you?
That was part of my revelation. And it wasn't when I actually quit, but it was a big stepping stone. There was one morning, I don't remember what we were going to do, but it just became very clear. I was I have to make a choice between the drinking and my family. I can't be 1 foot in, each door. Like, and then it just became so clear to me. I was just like, drinking is taking away from my family. Like, I could just feel a pull that I knew it couldn't work. Like, that filling the cracks of motherhood, like that muddiness, like you were talking about earlier, like those muddy waters, like that, I saw it very clearly that it was, you can't have both. Like, I did not think I could have both. So I guess that umbilical cord, like, analogy, like that was it. I was like, I am attached to them. So I have to detach myself from alcohol. Like, I do not have that dependence on alcohol that I do with my children. You know, like, I need them. They need me. Like, that is, that's the choice. So,
yeah. Oh, man. I think about in Laura McCown's book, We Are the Luckiest, and she says, addiction is stronger than love, right? And, like, thankfully, we got off the ride before it got to that part, right? To that point of, like, being heavily addicted to the substance. But as Annie Gray says in her book, if you drink long enough, that will happen. That's just the nature of the substance. And so, yeah, like, are we willing? Like, are we willing to wait to say, like, well, now I choose them over this? And yeah, I wasn't, and you weren't. And that's tough. It's tough to hear. And none of this is said with judgment ever. But I think that, yeah, I mean, we need to talk about it.
And I think the main thing with the pregnancy, going back to that, like, it is that end date, you know, you're almost white knuckling for 9 months. And then I've like, have you had the friends? This wasn't particularly me, but I think it's almost like the origin of the mommy wine culture is like, are you so excited to push that baby out so you can drink? And I mean, I've heard the champagne in the hospital, champs and sushi, hashtag, you know, like as soon as that baby comes out, champagne is literally in the hospital. Like, there was a story in the cafe yesterday where she was like, oh, they gave us baby bottles of it for our first dinner from the hospital.
There's a hospital close by on the North Shore. And every mom knows it. If you live on the North Shore, you know which one I'm talking about and where it is. And women will plan to have their babies there because they do a white tablecloth dinner with champagne for the first. Oh my God. Like, that is, isn't that insane? It's fucking insane.
And they're like, here's the silver spoon to put up your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the champagne and then the silver spoon. Yeah. That's another conversation. Yeah. But even the bump, like the bump on their Instagram had a mom who was like holding champagne pot bottle as she's holding her baby. And this isn't, we're never coming down on the moms.
No. Okay?
Because the moms, first of all, you're so terrified when it's your first baby, right? And you have gone without. You have gone, like, pregnancy, yeah, sure. For some people, like Audrey the unicorn, it's amazing. And you love every second of it and you know. Some people, it's not. It's really hard. I know I joked about it, but it's really hard to see your body change. And it's really hard to have your body not be yours anymore and not move like you're used to moving.
Like that much sacrifice, right? Because it's not just the drinking,
Totally. Like, pregnancy is sacrifice, right? I mean, yes, it's glorious. It's also really hard and a lot of sacrifice. And I don't know. I think that going without alcohol kind of just gets like wrapped up in with all of that. And it's like, oh my God, of course you're sacrificing. And for me, like, my sobriety didn't turn into one of abundance until there was no countdown. Like, there's no countdown. Because when you're counting down, that means that you're sacrificing.
Deprivation. Yes.
Yes. There's some sort of deprivation. You're depriving yourself of something in order to reward yourself for something at the end. And my sobriety, I'm not counting down. Like, alcohol is not a prize. Okay. Alcohol is not the prize. Alcohol is the punishment. I'm not counting down. And in pregnancy, I was. So that means, and what does that mean? Yes, you're counting down, but it means at every single event where alcohol is, you're not looking at it through a lens of like, let me just get curious and see, because I've never been the sober one when all the adults are drinking. So let me just see how they act and how loud they get and if they make fools of themselves. Instead, you're looking at it like, ugh, I can't join. This sucks. I'm bored. Like, ugh, water, really? Like, it's just a totally different experience.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could be supported in our sobriety the way we are in pregnancy, you know?
Right.
You're so protected in your little pregnancy bubble. They're like, oh no, she can't have that. She's pregnant. Or when you're ordering, it's like, oh no, make sure it's non-alcoholic, you know? And it's like so supported. And it's just like, if you're doing that on your own though, like no baby. You're on your own.
Doesn't matter if you have kids.
Right.
You're like, oh, I'm protecting my kids. They're like, what? You're like, no. Now my babies are actually out in the world. And like, I have to have all my wits about me so that I could protect them. They're like, yeah, but just drink, right? Like, no. I still need to protect them.
And the health. Now that we know everything we do about the cancer, you know, the carcinogens and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to be healthy for your children. Like, so you can literally be alive to see them grow up.
Yes. And like the pressure, right? You talk about like being supported when you're in sobriety, like you are when you're pregnant. There's just no pressure. If you say you're not drinking when you're pregnant, no one's going to say, oh, like ever again?
Right.
Wait, like forever? It's like there's no follow-up questions. There would be follow-up questions if you were drinking. Like, are you sure? But when you're not drinking in pregnancy, there are no follow-up questions. And in sobriety, even if there aren't follow-up questions, we prepare like there will be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are in our mind, right? Like our mind is nonstop questioning of all of these things that we think we need to answer. Like, okay, well, is this forever? Wait, well, how long is it? And in pregnancy, you just don't have that. You don't have that inner monologue. It's just a decision,
mm-hmm.
right? You've just decided. And that's why I think bringing that decision-making into sobriety is very important, so that you can just decide. And then anytime your mind kind of spirals with the like, oh, but what if, what about, how about forever, all of that, you're like, no, remember we decided. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Forever will figure itself out, I promise. Like, we don't have to figure it out.
And I remember in those early days too of being pregnant, therefore sober, like it was, I remember going out because I was going from early 30s, like still partying pretty hard with friends, like having fun, whatever. And then going out and not drinking was very interesting. But then I settled into it, you know, and I think deciding is a huge part of that because it's like off the table. But like, I do remember kind of that awkward, I had the easy excuse, you know, like, I'm pregnant. I think I did hide my drinking actually before we like announced that I was pregnant. Did you do that? Did you do any fake drinking?
No. I always wanted people to think I was pregnant because I always wanted to be pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yes. I never worried about that.
Yeah, I guess now I'm thinking I did fake drink a little bit.
So you would order like a soda water and lime or something and say that it was.
Or her husband. I would like order beers and make him like pound them both. So he was drinking for two.
He was drinking for two while you were eating for two.
Exactly.
Shots. Audrey's like, let's get a round of shots. Rosa's was like, can we not? That's hilarious.
Such a me thing to do. Yeah, but like going out at first, I remember like it was kind of hard being the sober one, but then I settled in and it's just like now, you know, like you find your new habits and you find your groove and what you like and don't like. And so sobriety in pregnancy is beneficial. I mean, anytime away from drinking, I do want to give that caveat.
Yes,
like
for your body and your mind.
Yes, is 9 months of not having alcohol in your body is incredible. So
yeah, don't drink when you're pregnant, P.S.
Yes.
This doesn't mean, oh, well, if it doesn't count, then let me drink. No.
Oh, boy.
That's not what we're saying.
Let's not get that message out there.
Should we have started with that?
One, we're not pregnant. Two, don't drink when you're pregnant.
Yes.
Oh, we were talking about this in the group yesterday on our chat that what if the pregnancy glow is actually a sober glow?
Ooh,
Right? Like, what if, like, all these, like, your skin clears up and, like, all these things? I mean, I know some of that is, like, hormone and, like, science really. I'm sure. I am no scientist. But, like, what if alcohol being removed, like...
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, yes.
But what if the pregnancy was getting a lot of the credit for the glow? And it's
and like the sleep, like if you sleep better. What if the whole thing, if you felt good during pregnancy? I don't know about my case. Maybe I glowed. I don't know. I'll have to look at pictures. I didn't feel like I glowed. I glow now.
But yeah, like what if some of those things could be attributed to the alcohol being removed?
Well, and then we have to talk about postpartum, right? Man, postpartum is such a, it's such a near and dear topic to my heart because it's so fucking hard. And it's really just taken for granted, I think, of women. Yes. Yeah. You're made to be a mom. Go be a mom. It's really hard for your first baby, especially if you know, you struggle with postpartum anxiety or depression or OCD, and alcohol is making it so much harder and so much worse. And the fact that OBs are not just saying that and touching base at that 6-week appointment and saying, like, how much are you drinking? Mm-hmm. And just so you know, right? And it's not from a judgmental place, but really an informational and educational place, just so you know, alcohol makes anxiety so much worse. And I don't know a new mom who doesn't feel anxiety and who needs sleep.
Right.
And alcohol fucks with our sleep so much. And so when I see like that champagne in the hospital room, it breaks my heart for the mom who thinks that this is the answer because she's been told it will make it easier. And I just know it's going to make everything harder. And not only is it going to make everything harder, but it's so addictive. And then it just doesn't lead anywhere good.
It's breaking that like celebratory nature of it. You know, like that's where it's just like, oh, you had a baby. Here's champagne. You know, like, and to your point, yeah, it's like, here's anxiety and more sleep deprivation in a bottle. Like, the more you know, right? Like once you know that, it's just like, well, shit, no, that's not what I want. I want sleep.
Right. And then we're looking at moms like, well, what's wrong with you that you can't handle motherhood and that you're struggling so bad and we'll put you on meds, which I'm never against meds. I'm still on meds. I always say that and I will be probably forever for OCD. Like in some cases, you really need them. But are we putting women on meds without also having the conversation that alcohol is making their anxiety worse and will continue to even while they're taking meds? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me and it never will. And it's doing moms such a disservice. And I mean, God, it's like the sleep deprivation. And then on top of that and the anxiety on top of that, it's the self-doubt and the shame. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a new mom and you're listening to this and you're like just starting to think about your relationship with alcohol and wondering like, ugh, is this a thing I want to look at? And if any of this is ringing true to you, first of all, you're not alone because this is why this is a movement. You're so not alone and it's not anything that you've done. And yes, it's making it harder. Even though everyone told you it's fine and it's going to make it easier and it's here to help you and all of that stuff. That little voice deep in the center of you is saying like, ugh, I don't know. I think it's making it harder. I think there's a better way. Yes, you're right.
And if anyone's pregnant, I feel like it's such a good time to be able to just like carry it through. You know, people kind of get used to you not drinking over the 9 months and then you're postpartum. So you have this really nice window of time where you can just kind of, no, like it seems like an easier runway to just like go into sobriety without having to give a lot of answers to the questions, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, if you're breastfeeding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a picture of my friends and I at a table at a restaurant. We all had our first babies and they were all babies and we were all nursing and drinking beer. because, you know, it was like, if you nurse while you're drinking, then it's fine. And all, I'm like, oh my God.
Right. Just like trying to make it work. And that carries on from breastfeeding into motherhood. Like, oh, if I don't do sports at night or, you know, whatever, then I can drink, because you start to schedule things just like the breastfeeding around drinking. And then you start to see these patterns of just like, I am fitting this into the cracks wherever I possibly can. And that's where it can just get away from you.
Yeah. Soon those cracks are going to be huge, like fault lines. And then soon they're going to, be what's bigger than
an avalanche?
Crevices, and then an avalanche, and then an earthquake.
Well, because you make the rules and then you break them.
Because it's addictive.
Yes.
Because it's addictive. If alcohol wasn't addictive, none of this would exist. Mm-hmm. It would just be like, yeah, that's great. Okay, it makes you, yeah, sure. I mean, does it make you completely lose good judgment and impulse control and your faculties and cause cancer and all that stuff? Yes. Is that really bad? Yeah. Is it bad enough? I mean, probably.
Are we really doing this, the asking of the questions and answering them?
Do I hate when people ask and answer their own questions? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Oh, my God. I hate that so much. You just rattled off. And I just did so many.
Why am I here?
What? Should you be asking me these questions?
Solo episode? You probably should.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's so true. You guys, I hate that. That's my pet peeve. Oh, my God. And I just did it. This is why I need a co-host to call me out.
Another funny thing about being a woman, too, that's getting sober, and we're kind of sadly aging out of this now, but the first question is, are you pregnant? Right?
Yeah,
we are. We're...
Well, you reminded me how old I'm going to be this year.
Y'all, she forgot. And I told her, and she is so offended when I said how old she was going to be. And I was like, oh, shit, I got it wrong. Oh, no, I was right. She was so mad.
We'll say it. We'll say how old I'm going to be.
See, I wasn't going to out like, you.
Audrey's like, well, you're going to be 44. And I was like, oh, no, I am not.
Gross.
I'm 44. And then I was like, oh, wait, shit, quick math. You know, I was born in 1980, so it's pretty easy to do the math. And then I was like, oh, my God, I am.
I don't get carded anymore either. So, you know, but it was like the first I'm not having a drink. Like, oh, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant?
Right.
Like, no, I'm not freaking pregnant. Like,
and it's like, annoying. No, but I am a mom. Right. And like, my babies are now out in the world and I still have to protect them. And that's okay. But it's also like not a sacrifice. That's the thing. That's the shift, mm-hmm. right? And that's why pregnancy doesn't count. Because in pregnancy, it's a huge sacrifice. And it's something we count down to. We're doing it for just for our babies, which means we're not seeing any benefit to ourselves. We're also not seeing a benefit, probably because if you weren't a pregnant unicorn like Audrey, then you probably aren't seeing the benefits, right? You're like, oh, no, I'm not sleeping better because I have a fucking bruised rib from my 21-inch baby.
Kicking,
you know?
Yeah.
I didn't lose, you know, the bloat because, my ankles have cellulite, you know? Like, so then you're not seeing any of the benefits. Like, it just doesn't count.
And, I mean, you're not doing inner work. You're not introspective about why you're not drinking, which so this is like a huge door to open, because that is when you start evaluating your relationship with alcohol. You're not evaluating it again. Like, you do see that end date, you see the champagne in the delivery room. Like, so you're not thinking about the reasons you drank or different ways to cope. Like, you're not going down the rabbit hole that we go through in our first year of sobriety of just like, everything's upside down. Like, this is just like, steer the course 9 months, then we move on. So it's that internal work and the evaluation of everything that made you drink and why you reached for it that really starts to unravel like how alcohol played a role in your life. So none of that's happening, right?
No.
That's not having a pregnancy. I didn't.
No. And you're not. I think all of that starts to happen when you start to tell the truth about alcohol and the role it's played in your life. And yeah, you're not doing that.
And shame. Like, I wasn't like going down like my alcohol shame when I was pregnant. Yeah.
Right.
I saved that for another day.
Right. And nor are you supposed to, right? Like, we're not saying like, if you're pregnant right now listening to this, don't do that.
The hormones are enough. But yeah, just the difference. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The difference. Yeah. I wasn't like sitting down when I was pregnant and being like, when were the times that alcohol really came in and fucked shit up for me? Let me look at my lowest points in life. Like, you're not doing that. And that is something that is necessary to do in sobriety in order to, like we call, mold in the basement. To shine a light on the mold in the basement that was probably at work a lot when you're drinking, right? And all of that shame and uncovering that shame. And yeah, you're right. Like, that's not happening in pregnancy.
So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Once you start taking a close look and going through that roller coaster of the first year, it's a lot of work. It really is.
And even the second year.
It's stabilized a bit for me. So year two has been much more even keeled for me. Like, I feel like the roller coaster dips aren't as like extreme. It's more of maybe a bounce.
Okay. Oh, I like it. You're more bouncy. I like it. I think Mom and I recorded the episode of like, okay, you're sober for a year now. What?
Oh,
and
yes.
It is like, it is all of those firsts, right? In sobriety when you're, which like, pregnancy doesn't count. And so your first during pregnancy, you haven't done those yet. So that's why we say throw those out. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't count. And so, yeah. And then in your second year, you do kind of, you have more of a bandwidth probably and a stable ground to start then exploring maybe family dynamics and like, oh, okay, so what happened when I was little that kind of caused me to not know how to feel and cope with my feelings and all of that stuff, like the deeper kind of work of sobriety. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just doesn't happen in pregnancy because you're working on building a whole person. And all of your energy is going toward that,
right,
as it should.
As it should be, exactly.
As it should. Like, don't do anything else.
Right.
Don't worry about anything
else.
You're
putting a Herculean effort towards growing a child. Okay,
yes.
So your baby moon is not your first sober vacation, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. Thank God.
Right.
Like, my first sober vacation was way better than my baby moon. My first baby moon, right? I think, like, if I compare the two, yeah, like my first baby moon, I'm like uncomfortable. I'm scared, shitless, right? A lot of anxiety about the unknown and what's to come. Like, I'm trying to enjoy it, but I'm probably annoyed with my husband that I can't remember if he drank. He probably didn't, but I'm still just annoyed with him because I'm pregnant, you know? And I'm like, ugh, I'm pregnant and you're not. I just was not one of those, like, you. I'm not
hey,
you, Audrey.
Okay, it was not all smooth sailing. I had gestational diabetes, so I had to
you did?
Sacrifice a lot of, like, pizza crust and pancakes and things I really wanted. That was hard, I will say that.
Well, okay, you
first.
Had that?
Yeah.
Really?
So it would like spike and I had to stab myself every day. Like, people with diabetes, man, that is hard.
That is hard.
But I didn't have
and
it
so
with
you
the second.
You couldn't have like treats and stuff?
Not really. And when like my first trimester before I knew I had it, I was like housing cereal. And that's like the worst for your blood sugar. I mean, I was like having, you know, kid cereal.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember the numbers anymore, but it was bad.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know how I didn't have it. Let's just say that. Okay. So I guess, okay. So why did I want to record this? And why was I like, okay, can you come on and let's talk about how pregnancy doesn't count? It's not to say like, hey, you who are like in early sobriety and excited to look at your relationship with alcohol. Yeah. Well, that didn't count.
Like, not finger pointing. Yeah.
Right. And it's not to say like, oh yeah, you thought you had this figured out. Well, you didn't. You're at day zero. It's not that at all. And if in pregnancy you did do these things and you're like, these women are insane, I want to say good for you, because I think you're probably in the minority. If also when you were pregnant, you thought, oh, I like how I feel without alcohol, and then you kept going, then it did count for you. And then you could just tell us to shut up and that we don't know what we're talking about. But if you are listening to this and you keep falling back on the idea that there's no reason to examine your relationship with alcohol because when you were pregnant, you didn't drink. And so if you use that as kind of a ticket to say, see, look, nothing to see here, I'm fine, I want you to question that, because you are fine. You're fine. But alcohol and your relationship with it might not be. Mm-hmm. And that's of no weakness of yours. It's all of the things that we talk about on here. But that's why I wanted to get this out there.
It really does kind of enable us a bit, right? Because, oh, see, 9 months was no big deal. I'm going to go right back to it. So, right, you're kind of skipping over. It's giving you that ticket back to drinking. It's just like, I did it. Okay, check. No problem. Keep moving. Yeah, that is... I could see how, I mean, it was for me, like it was, there was no evaluation and then it was business as usual as soon as I could, you know, so.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, well, obviously if I had a quote unquote problem with alcohol, I wouldn't have been able to stop drinking for 9 months. Therefore, I don't have a problem and blinders back on, and I'm going to resume drinking how I drank before once I get over the hump of it tasting gross and tasting like ethanol, right? Mm-hmm.
I also have I don't have it anymore because she turned out fine. But I had a ton of shame about the drinking that I did when I was pregnant and didn't know it, like before I found out.
Oh.
So that was really tough. And I worried a lot of the pregnancy of like, oh my gosh, did I like mess her up? You know, like, so there is.
You did?
Yeah. Oh. So I mean, like, and it wasn't extreme, but I mean, it was just like, I didn't know I was pregnant. So I thought about those drinks that I had had when I think I found out when I was like, I don't know, 4 weeks or something like that. But I mean, I had drank alcohol in that time and I felt so much shame. So it just shows that like, that shame is always freaking there with alcohol. Like it's always there.
I drank all that, like I got, well, definitely with the third, I think I was drunk when I got pregnant. Not drunk, but like, definitely had like 3 glasses of wine. And I mean, I definitely drank before I knew I was pregnant, but I didn't have shame. Isn't that crazy? Because you like, I Googled and I was like, is it fine? And everyone's like, no, it's fine. They don't even, right? That's society like being like, no, green light, it's fine.
But for me, that was like in deep in me. I was just like, I felt horrible. I felt like a bad mom already. It was my first child. Aww. You know, I just was like, I can't believe she was in there, you know?
Oh, makes me want to hug you.
I'm okay now.
But you can even find evidence of, you know, I remember being like, whoa, Gwyneth Paltrow drank 1 Guinness a month or something when she was pregnant and she's so chic. It's like all the bullshit that you could find to, if you want to keep drinking, and doctors, I don't know. It's just, it's wild.
Did anyone ever try to make you drink while you were pregnant? Like New Year's, I had a New Year's situation where they were like, that baby's cooked, it's fine. And I was just like so uncomfortable. Yeah.
Oh,
that normalization of just like, or people with their like whatever research they've done, you know, and they kind of, I got like peer pressured into trying to drink on New Year's. And I just kind of like left it there on the counter. It was just like uncomfortable. Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, some people drank during their pregnancy. Like it just, I think we know so much more now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people just got swept into listening to what other people say is okay. And I don't know. I think mommy wine culture has just been around for so long, longer than we think, that it's just the normalization. And yeah, science is proving otherwise to all of these things about like the no amount of alcohol is safe. You know, like that's a huge leg for us to stand on as sober people now.
Yes. Thank you for this. I love this discussion. I've been wanting to have it for a long time because I think it's really important to say, and I hope it didn't feel shaming or judgmental, which I never want our episodes to feel. Instead, just maybe empowering and saying like, oh, right, I can do this. And I can do this whether it's for my kids or it's for me or if it's for both. It changes by the day. Doesn't matter. Like, you can do it. And alcohol is making motherhood so much harder. And it's so much brighter without it. I promise.
Never shaming. I think that comes across. Like, we know, yeah, it's just, we've either done it or, yeah, I mean, we're coming from what experience that we have. But I think what's empowering, I like to use that word, is like, you did go 9 months without drinking. So you can absolutely freaking do it, you know? Like, so yes. Where it does count is the fact that you did do that. Like, you did it. So if you did it, then it might be for different reasons, but you can do it again. And you are a badass for carrying that child and birthing them. And we're doing the hard shit. So if you can do all those things, you can kick alcohol to the curb. I know you can.
Hell yeah.
I know it.
And it'll be better. Sobriety is so much better when you're not pregnant. Like, you get to reap the benefits, actually. Is it harder, too, when you get to do the work? Yes, but it's good hard. It's the good hard that's, like, working towards something. I'm doing it again. Oh my God. Oh my God. Do we have to end this episode? Yes, we do. Can I believe that I did that again? No, I can't. Oh my God.
I just started smiling at her, y'all. She knew right
away. Oh my God. I am ending it right now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also, follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay, I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
Oh, hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.